LMPF, we have got a problem. Mikey Boy Bissett out with the flu. He's on the DL from the Treehouse. Mike's been sick all week, guys, so we haven't been able to get together and record. So I decided to do a solo podcast, try and throw something out to you guys, give you something a little bit different. It gets pretty personal for me. I tell a lot of personal stuff. So, yeah, hopefully you guys enjoy. This is going to be probably a four-part podcast. I'm going to put them out right on top of each other, probably a day apart, just so we can get through this and give you guys a little bit of content to listen to until Mike gets better. So, enjoy.
I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while. You could miss it.
I'm not gonna lie to you guys. So far, this has been pretty therapeutic for me. It's been nice. You know, right when I first started or had the idea of recording this, I thought, you know, oh, there's so much I want to say, but I'm probably just gonna rush through it and, you know, it'll be 5 minutes and that's not worth putting out. But luckily I've been able to, yeah, sit here and just chat with you guys about what I've done. And I love it. And I thank you guys for listening. Like I said, before, this is exactly what this podcast is about. It's finding people, finding stories, whether it's a good story, bad story, whatever. Finding people, finding stories, and finding out what makes everyone's little clock tick, I guess. I don't know. So this one is going to get, I don't know how it's going to get. We'll see. We'll see. But I think it's going to get a little deep. I have made every experience that I've taken from the last 6 years, comes down to relationships for me. Personal, professional, and by professional I mean coworkers, and animals. I'm gonna, start with coworkers. Moving down to San Diego, I knew absolutely nobody. I knew no one. I had no friends, which was weird for me, because if you know me now, I'm social. I like to think I'm funny. I get out there, I have fun. Cut loose, shake a leg a little bit, huh? Right? I like to have fun. So to be in a place where I can't do that, to be out of my element, to be in a whole new world, it was difficult. And in shit, man, 6 years, I have met some of the best people I've ever met in my life. The absolute best. Completely different than my friends back at home. It's a whole different ballgame for me now. Which is why I go back to saying, like, if you want to take that chance, if you're thinking about taking that chance and there's not a lot to risk, man, you're dumb if you don't take it. If you're 22 and, you don't have a lot of responsibilities and you're thinking about, like, oh, wouldn't it be great if I just, like, moved to Maui for a year? Man, fucking move to Maui. Do it. Go. Because you will meet people. Somehow, some way, you will find people. And that was my biggest worry coming down here, is how am I going to meet people, and it all started with coworkers, and it all started through this big, beautiful zoological facility called SeaWorld. I'm not naive. I know that not all of these relationships are going to be lifelong and everlasting. I mean, do I have people down here that I would consider best friends? Like, best friends? No, not best friends. But here's the weird thing. Up where I came from, I have best friends. You know, I do. And I love them. I would do anything for them. But down here, I have a lot of really, really good friends. Like, really good friends. And in a lot of ways, no offense to any of my friends back at home that are listening to this, to have a lot of really good friends, that makes my heart a lot more whole. Whole? Full. Full. I meant to say full. My heart a lot more full. A lot fuller. Makes my heart a lot fuller. The executive had a way to go to work. That was a dumb Ron Burgundy riff. Yeah, it really does. So I've met people through working at Pets Rule and being down here. I hope they last a lifetime. I really hope they do, you know, past coworkers. I mean, just look at the guest list that we've had on this podcast. Look at it. I mean, I could go through all of it. They're all friends that I have made in San Diego, minus maybe one or two. They're all friends that I've made in San Diego. Audrey Zielinski, can't wait to have her back on. Cannot wait to have her back on the podcast. She worked with me. Pregnant with twins now. God bless her. Good for her. Her and Neil. More importantly, Mike Bissett. I said it before. I didn't know the son of a bitch when we first started this podcast. I didn't know him. Amazing friend. Amazing friend. Super good guy. BJ Lawrence, Jared Weintraub, AJ Knox, Courtney Broussard, Marina and Sarah. All these people I have been fortunate enough to meet and be friends with because I took a chance. So a big staple in my life over the last 6 years has been around relationships. Now, people have played a big part in my life, but now, you know, I know that I can always call Mike on the phone if I need to. I can always call Audrey. Crystal, one of my best friends that I've ever worked with from work, I can call her. I talked to her last night on the phone for an hour. And at the end of the conversation, she said, shit, I got to go to bed. Like, stop. Every time we talk on the phone, we always talk for like an hour. I'm like, you're right, we do. Because we just talk and it's seamless. Because it's that easy. Just pick up a phone. If you got a friend at home that you haven't talked to in a while, call them. Chat. Now, I want to talk to you about my best friends in San Diego. And this is where it's going to get hard for me. You know, I can talk about leaving this job and how it's the right move and it's smart and I'm going on to bigger and better things and, you know, but I'm no matter what, I know I'm leaving behind a lot of very good friends, and that is the animals that I work with. Call me cheesy. Call me stupid, call me whatever you want to call me. Just means you've never owned a dog before or never had the unconditional love of a pet. But that's the one that I'm starting to realize that I'm going to lose. And I am not ready for that. LMPF, I am not ready for that right now. I can't do it. You know, now every day I go to work, I have, I think, what, 4 days left of work? Every day I go to work, every single time I pet a dog, I just start to get a little more sad every time. Every single time. Like, it's definitely taking a toll on my efficiency at work, because now I'm just kind of like, oh, I'm going to sit with you for a couple minutes. So now I spend, you know, 2 minutes sitting with 30 dogs. Next thing you know, I blow an hour of my workday, you know, when it should have taken me 10 minutes, but not really, I'm exaggerating, but you know what I mean. I'm not ready for it, man. It's going to hit, and I don't know when it's going to hit, but man, when it does, it's going to hit fucking hard. It's going to hit really fucking hard. Because like I said, in San Diego, they are my best friends. They are. They have been there for me every single step of the way, every single day. Bad day, good day. I go to work, you know, I look at some of my dogs at work, and let's be honest, we all know cats are great, but they're not going to get you like a dog will. There's a couple cats that really get me, but man, Summer, my frisbee dog, man, that's my girl. That is my girl. And it's weird to think that in 7 days from now, it's not going to be easy to see her. I'm not going to be that guy that just keeps like going back constantly to SeaWorld and like seeing the show like, hey, can I see Summer? It's like, fuck, BJ's back again. Jesus Christ, can't that guy just let it go? Let it go, BJ. I'm not going to be that guy, but yeah, it's hard to say goodbye. Cue Boys to Men song. How do I say goodbye? All right. but yeah, that's where that's where I'm struggling right now. And it's for a lot of different reasons. You know, as an animal trainer, I think that people have a lot of different ways they can go about it, about training animals. For me, I like to think of myself as kind of a utility man. You know, I got the utility belt. I don't just use one tool. You can't build a house with just a hammer. So I use many, many different tools when it comes to animal training. My hammer is relationship. Maybe that hasn't always been the most popular way to do it, but it's the way I like to do it. You know, if I get told to not do it by a supervisor, which I never have ever, but you know, then I would maybe back off a little bit. But my most important tool when it comes to animal training is relationship. That's got to be the foundation. That's got to be the start. You can't get anything accomplished if you don't have a mutual love and respect for each other. I mean, for me, that's it. That's the bottom line. So through the years, I mean, I've, you know, there's 33 dogs now at work. You know, some I have very solid relationships with. Some I have extremely great relationships with. Some I'm just kind of like, oh yeah, no, you're a good dog. You know, I love them all, but there's some that just tug at your heartstrings. And I can't let those go, because I've spent 6 years. What did I say in the first one? 2,024 days. 2,024 days with these animals. It's more than I've seen my family, more than I've seen my friends, more than I've seen my roommates, more than I've seen anyone. I see them more than I've seen anyone in the last 6 years. How do I not love them? How do I not just be like, oh, all right, that's my last show. Bye, moving on to bigger and better things. See you later. It's going to hit and it's going to kill me. It's going to kill me. But yeah, we'll cross that bridge when it comes to it. I think what I'm hoping to do, we'll see if this can happen. I'm doing a going away party on my last day, which is Friday the 30th. And between work and the going away party thing, there's a couple hour gap. So I'm hoping, hopefully Biz is feeling better. He can come up before we go, get a couple drinks, and him and I can sit down and go straight from literally like an hour after my last show and just start recording, and then see how it all feels then. But yeah. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is easily the hardest thing about this job. Like I said, there are level-headed people in this business, and there are crazy people in this business. Not in this business, animal people. There's level-headed animal people. There's crazy animal people. Crazy animal people, if you're crazy and you don't understand this, then I'm sorry. Then I'm not going to lie to you. I apologize. Turn this off. I want to talk about death. I want to talk about loss. Because in 6 years and having a show of 140 animals, I've had to deal with it. I've had to deal with it. Not a lot. Not a great deal or anything like that. But life happens. Animals get old. Animals get sick. You know, it's just life, man. Like, you don't know an animal's history when you get them from a shelter. But that's the hardest part of the job, is having to deal with that. You know, like I said, you deal with them every single day. And then when one gets sick, and then you got to be the one that makes that call, or, you know, you got to talk about quality of life. You know, it's tough. I hope I'm not speaking out of turn by telling some of these stories. I don't think I am. No stories are bad. Like I said, it's life. It is the way it is. But, you know, we had a dog, amazing dog, Bama. Bama was a black lab. She was a good old girl, man. The dog loved to work. And that's another thing that really pisses me off about some people, is like when you say, oh, you just make that dog work. Well, yeah, some dogs work. Some dogs are working dogs. Some dogs are not happy at all unless they're working. If you put a working dog in a house and just let them sit by the fireplace, they're going to be fucking miserable. Some dogs love to work, and Bama loved to work. And she got a little older, maybe 12, still going strong, still loved to work. But, you know, you could tell she was trying, you know, her body wasn't keeping up with her brain. So her brain was saying, go, go, go. But her body was like, oop, all right, slow it down a little bit. So we decided to retire her. And so we retired her, and, you know, we put her up for adoption, and we found a great family, an amazing family for her. Mom, dad, and I think eight or nine-year-old kid. Dad was a little skeptical because when the daughter was super young, like 2 or 3 years old, got bit by a dog, so she's always been afraid of dogs. And Bama, being that big old black lab sweetheart that she was, man, right when they first met her, she ran up and just started licking the daughter's face, and the daughter started laughing, and, mommy, she's cute, and it was just like perfect, such a perfect fit. So like, all right, well, we're moving right now, and, you know, we're moving right now, so once we get settled in the new house, you know, we'll give you a call, and then we'll take Bama. And they called us like a week and a half later, 2 weeks later, and I'm like, all right, great, yeah, we'll bring her over Wednesday or whatever day it was, I don't remember. And 2 days before, we heard a cough, so we isolated her and thought she had just like a little kennel cough or something like that. And the day before we were supposed to take her to that house, we just took her to the vet just to give her a checkup, just to make sure everything was good with the family. You know, didn't want to give the family a sick dog. Turns out she had full-blown lung cancer. Full-blown lung cancer. And they said she had it for a while. And Bama never showed a sign. That's a good dog. And it was a blow. Nobody knew. You know, it's funny, like I'm talking about Bama, like she's a person, towards like, oh yeah, nobody knew that Jerry had colon cancer. Yeah, but it's the truth. Nobody knew. Not even a sign. Not a hint. And it just got to a point to where she finally just kind of like started to let it go a little bit. And then she had full-blown lung cancer. And, you know, I wasn't in a position of authority then. I agree with the steps that were taken, but unfortunately, Bama had to be euthanized. Because it was full-blown lung cancer. We're talking quality of life. You know, it's not, working with animals isn't always great. You know, you have to make decisions and you have to do things with the information that you have. You know, I would have loved to have asked Bama, like, how are you feeling? I'm good. Oh, you're good? All right. Let's, you know, whatever. You know, what is that old conservation saying? We have to speak for the speechless or something like that. Speak for the unspoken, or I don't know what it is, but yeah, just stuff like that. And it's hard. And it doesn't get any easier. Each one hits just as hard every time you have to do it. But that's what we do. We got to take the really good, but we got to take the really good with the really bad. And I'm very fortunate that, you know, it's been 90% very good and maybe 10% bad throughout my time there. I'm sorry, it's weird. Like, I'm just like, I got like a whole just Rolodex of like stuff like I kind of want to talk about right now, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to wrap it up with this last one. This is the most clear cut prime example of why I do what I do and why I love doing what I do. This was maybe a year ago, and there was, sorry, I'm going to need a little sip for this one. Maybe a little hit of Jeffrey too. So this is maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. Our stage supervisor came into our office and talked to us and said, hey, you know, we have a boy coming down soon. He's sick. His name is Alex. He's sick and he has a inoperable brain tumor. So Make-A-Wish contacted us and he said that his dying wish was to come to SeaWorld and see your show. So obviously we were all on board. Opening every door that we possibly could to give Alex the best experience that we could. And They planned a day, and somehow scheduling got mixed up, and they were coming down on the wrong day. And they came down on a day when our stadium was closed for renovations. We close every year for a week to, you know, redo stuff at this on the stage. So he was coming down on a day when there was no show, and there was, I don't want to say panic, but it was sad. Like, I was super bummed out. And so we put together a show specifically for him and his family. We have like a, you know, portable traveling show that we can do. It's a much, much smaller scale of what our actual show is. So they're kind of keeping us updated like every like half hour, like Alex is on his way. He was driving all the way down from, I think, San Jose, or maybe the Bay Area. And then he ended up having to stop halfway through because he was so sick. He didn't think he could make it all the way down. So he ended up stopping in a hospital and getting admitted into the hospital. So they tell us, you know, Alex isn't going to be able to make it. So they go, can you make a video for him? Like, I'll send it to his mom. And we're like, yeah, absolutely. So all of the trainers come out. We all have animals with us. And, you know, I send a video to him saying, you know, Alex, hope you feel better. You know, we're all waiting here for you. Like, whenever you're feeling good enough to come down, we can't wait to meet you. You know, neither can, you know, the animals can't either, blah, blah, blah. Whatever we did. Send the video to his mom. Alex sees the video. And, like a champ, man, Alex rallies. He's 13 years old, by the way. 13 years old. Inoperable brain tumor. Alex rallies. 30 minutes later, they call and say, we're in the car, we're on our way. So we're excited, you know, we're very excited to meet Alex and excited to do the show for him. And he finally gets there. And, you know, we do a very private show for him and his family, like in a courtyard. And, you know, he's in a wheelchair. He can't stand up. He can barely move. He just started losing his hair from chemo. His story and just like meeting this kid, man, like it's like that. He's 13 years old, and that was his dying wish. He's 13 years old. He has to deal with having brain cancer. And his dying wish was to come to SeaWorld and see our show and see the other shows. If that doesn't leave a mark on a person, like you're almost like not even human. You're not even a human being. So we spent a lot of time with Alex. We brought every animal we could out to meet him. You know, some of the dogs couldn't really meet him. The dogs wanted to meet him because they were very interested in his wheelchair. But some of them were just a little too rowdy. And like I said, he was pretty immobile. He had like a brace around his neck that was like keeping him in the chair. And he was kind of paralyzed, so he couldn't really move a whole lot. But yeah, moments, people. It's moments. And that's the shit that I'm going to miss about working there. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be other moments in my life working at my new place to where I'm going to get to have some really good moments. But I mean, nothing's going to be better than that or worse than that. You know, it's just moments in your life that you got to stop and just realize, like, shit. 4 years ago, I almost got fired because I was a 28-year-old drunk party boy. And thought I was like living a new life in San Diego and playing beer pong till 2:30 in the morning when I had to work at 8. And now I'm doing a show for a kid who's going to die. And unfortunately, he did. He did. And I kept in contact with his mom. And unfortunately, he passed away a while ago. But it's just hard because there's a lot to be proud of. And there's a lot more experiences to have at this job. I know that there is, but I mean, it's just, you know what? Maybe those experiences, maybe I've just had enough great ones. Maybe I've just had enough great experiences to where, you know, I'm capped out. You know, I got to do the whole dealer, flip the hands over, show my wrists, and just, I got to tap out. And, you know, let someone else come in and have those experiences. And I'm grateful. And I'm sad. But, oh, you know what? Sorry, I wrote this down. I totally forgot. Well, yeah, I'm not going to leave it on a super sad note, so I'm going to tell this story. I'll leave you guys with this. Speaking of experiences, you know, I was talking about death and loss, you know, animals and, you know, people, you know, obviously. I want to talk to you about a very, very cool dog, a very cool dog. It was very short-lived at Pets World, but it was a very, very cool dog and a fun, weird little experience that I had. So there was a dog. It was actually, ironically enough, it was my sister's dog. She got a dog from a shelter. Name was Izzy. Izzy was a heeler mix, so it was a cattle dog. A little neurotic, a little crazy. So, you know, we ended up giving her a shot at Pets Rule. She evaluated okay, but was like, all right, well, we'll try and see what happens. So, you know, every night at SeaWorld, they used to do fireworks during the summer. And so, you know, the animals are in there. Dog runs at night. And I was dating a girl at the time, so I am, I just started dating a girl at the time. So we were dating, and I think it was, I don't know, like third, fourth date. Go out, boom, 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 like everything was great. I go back to her house, and that was the first time we slept together. As we were sleeping together, I heard, because my pants were in the other room, I heard my phone going off as we were having sex, and obviously I didn't get up and go get it or anything, but everything was done, and we finished like 3 hours later. All right. So everything was done, and so we were hanging out, and then I went and got my phone, and I get a voicemail from my boss at the time, and he leaves me a voicemail saying, hey, I just got a call from SeaWorld Security. The fireworks spooked Izzy. Izzy got out. She's gone. So I immediately start freaking out because this was like 2 weeks after I got Izzy from my sister. So I'm like, shit, I just lost my sister's dog. Like, this is a dog I just gave my, like, one of my new bosses. Like, what the fuck? So I'm just like, my first thought is go to SeaWorld and just drive around and try and find Izzy. Try and find Izzy. So I run into the bedroom and to the girl that I was newly dating and I had just slept with for the first time. I go right into her room right after we had sex and I said, hey, I gotta go. A dog got out of work and I gotta find it. She gave me a look like, are you fucking kidding me? That is the worst excuse to try and get out of sleep with me. She thought for probably the next week and a half that I just made up that excuse, that I was just trying to sleep with her. And then my one out wasn't like, oh, I gotta get up in the morning. It was like, shit, it was so elaborate. Like, a dog got out at work and I have to drive around all of Fiesta Island to try and find this dog. Lo and behold, 24 hours later, Izzy came back and we found her. But the relationship after that was a bit short-lived. Because I don't think she quite got over the, I'm going to have sex with you and you're going to leave because you need to find a dog? So yeah, I don't know if that's funny. But it was funny to me because it just kind of popped into my head. So, all right. So we're going to end that on kind of a on a fun little more positive note rather than, yeah, death and dying. So my big goal right now is to, yeah, obviously, if you're listening to this, then the other ones are already out and you've been listening to these. So hopefully I can get Biz over up here in the treehouse. We can sum up my last day. To be honest, I have no idea if any of this shit is interesting to you guys. Yeah, it's been very therapeutic for me to actually talk about it. I've never sat in an empty room. I mean, all the roommates are gone. Tim's gone. Juice is gone. So I'm sitting in my kitchen just chatting. So thank you guys. I really appreciate you guys listening if you stuck it all the way through. And yeah, stay tuned because Mike and I got some really fun guests coming up. And yeah, I'm not going to do promos or pitch anything. Just thank you guys. I really appreciate it. All right, we'll talk to you soon.